much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
This doesn't even feel like we're on. This feels like, I like that. It's just very chill. Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, for my hoarse voice. I got very
drunk.
Huey
was out. You flew to Manchester today and you live in Dublin now. But when did you live in the UK?
So, obviously I'm born in Ireland.
Yeah.
Grew up all my life there.
Yeah.
Moved to the UK in 2016.
Right.
And then,
so, just after Big Brother.
Just after Big Brother. Yeah. And then I moved back to Ireland in 2020 when me and my ex split up because my ex is British.
Yeah.
He's from Blackpool.
He's from the show.
Yeah, from Big Brother. We met Big Brother. Me and Ryan met Big Brother.
Yeah.
And then I moved back to Ireland in 2020.
You went on Big Brother in 2016.
Yeah.
You were 21.
Yeah, I was 21.
What made you want to go on the show? How did that happen?
So
did you get cast?
Always the biggest fan ever of reality TV.
Yeah.
I was never into sports, never into anything like that. I just loved reality television and popular culture. Yeah. And where I grew up, I never really felt like I fitted in with my family or my dad or anyone. And I feel like watching shows like Big Brother was like, I kind of seen people from all walks of life that I related to. I'm from Ballymun. That's in sorry. I was working in youth work with kids in like homer clubs. Mm. So I went to the local job centre to print off some documents. And when I was there, I just got like a light bulb thing in my head. It was like, apply. It was January 2016. I had just come out to my family. And it was time for me to start doing things for me.
Yeah.
I literally Googled, how do you apply for Big Brother? I found an article. And in the article, it actually had a producer's email address. I emailed him the email of all emails. If he was not going to notice me from this, he never was.
Yeah.
I got an email that night and it said, you sound so fascinating.
Do you find that, so the correlation of you coming out to your family and then did that give you the confidence boost to go on Big Brother?
Definitely.
Because you were like, okay, this is kind of, now it's my time.
Definitely. Yeah. It's like, before 21, I never really lived my life for me.
Right.
And then I started to really, really like, do things for me after that.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing is, like, we'll probably get into this more later on in the conversation, but after Big Brother, that was supposed to be my time, but I ended up getting into a relationship and...
From the show.
From the show.
Okay.
And... It kind of wasn't me kind of being me always, but it kind of was a start of me being openly Huey.
Before you went on Big Brother, so you're still in Dublin, you come out. How does that work in the travelling community? Because coming out as gay, I don't know, how does that get received?
I completely understand where you're coming from when you ask that question.
Yeah.
Because when people look at Irish travellers and gypsy people, there's such an amount of stereotypes. Like, if I wasn't a traveller, I'd look at travellers and probably think, good, bad or indifferent, I kind of would probably disassociate myself. Because if you look in the world we live in, there's a lot of allies for a lot of minorities, communities. But gypsies and travellers don't really have that. Mm. And for me, growing up, I never really had anyone I felt like I could relate to.
Yeah.
There was no travellers in the media.
In the media, yeah.
That I even felt like I could relate to. Never mind everyone around me.
Yeah.
So I struggled a lot with that. But a lot of people have actually told me that I've kind of pioneered a thing of being very openly gay or whatever you are.
I think you have.
I never tried to do that.
No.
I don't look at myself and think, oh, I'm so inspirational.
I'm a pioneer.
Yeah.
I do
but
think
other people tell me that.
You would have been the first, like, I'm going to say in media, UK media, but as an Irish traveller in that space.
We don't. In 1997, the very last Magdalen laundry closed down.
For context, 1997 is not that long ago either.
No, the very last one closed down. And then May 2015, 17 years later, which is not that long a time from having Magdalen laundries, May 2015, we became the first country in the world to legalise same-sex marriage by vote.
Yeah.
So Ireland grew so much. So not only did I grow up in a travelling community, I also grew up in a very old-fashioned country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, growing up, I was not even allowed to watch music videos with gay people.
Really?
Transgender people or none of that. I was never allowed to. My dad would actually turn around and say stuff like, why is that even on the television?
Get that off.
Like, he would literally turn it off.
Okay.
And that
okay.
was my life growing up.
So when you were coming out, though, did that not make you feel, did you feel nervous?
I got to the stage where it was like, I'm either going to come out mm-hmm. or I'm either going to kill myself or on drugs or yeah. find an escape.
Yeah.
It became that.
Yeah.
So I just think in the end it was like, I'm going to come out and I'm going to be okay.
And you're going to be yourself. So then with that, though, obviously you were like, right, now's a good time, going Big Brother. 2016, you went on. How, I watched you on that season. Yeah. I thought you were really funny. What was your experience like on the show?
So my experience with Big Brother was always a positive one. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard for me to like, not criticize, but appear like I'm criticizing. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, producers can edit people and make people look a certain way. But I still seen that. Like, I lived in the house with people for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then I know there were certain parts of their personalities. But then when I went home and watched stuff back, all these other parts of them was never shown.
Yeah.
So they were just seen in an argumentative, boring slut.
I do hear this, though, because even, not even with Big Brother, but like certain reality TV shows, they'll be the villain. They'll be the...
Definitely, the bitch.
It's the type, like...
Like, yeah. with me, I was a success story. So I find it hard to complain. But I'm not complaining. I'm just being honest that I was on the show. I was so, so me. And even though I was still edited up and chopped up, it never came off in a bad way.
No.
But I can kind of understand why people who have gone on shows like that and have been completely themselves and shown who they are in every way, and there's only one side of them shown, why that's frustrating. But you do sign a contract at the same time.
You
do.
You did really well.
So
like, the public would... you did get a really good reception.
Huge reception.
You were just yourself, though.
And also, you need to remember, in 2016, Ireland has 5 TV channels.
Yeah.
Irish TV channels. We have RT1, RT2, Virgin Media. At the time, it was TV3, as you know.
Yeah.
TG Catter, very, very small industry. But Ireland was still quite... I don't know what word to use, but kind of like backward. When I came out of Big Brother, it was like I was Katie Price. I was treated like
I was so famous. Yeah. So you came second and you were in the house. But then coming out of the house, because I had a girl who was on my podcast and she was on Finland Big Brother. And she said...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Finland Big Brother.
I know. Like, and she just came off like a month ago.
Her head must be...
Oh, she was like, when I came out, it was like... She was like, they call it the Big Brother bubble. So when you're in there, you feel like, you know, you're really safe. And then coming out into the public, online, social media, the newspaper. How did you feel? Because...
Right, it's weird. So, I was very popular after the show. But I didn't know how to deal with that popularity. Because I never expected my parents... Because bearing in mind, I had only come out to my parents and some of my family not long before Big Brother. So when I went on the show, it was kind of like coming out properly.
Yeah.
So... I geared it up in my head so much that it was going to be a bad experience.
Right.
That when it was good, I did not know how to accept that. It was so weird. Walking down the street in Dublin, there's like taxi drivers stopping with customers in the back. And like, I'm jumping out to get a photo. I'm like, you have a job to do. Yeah. What are you doing? It was so, so weird.
It's jarring, I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I went on to do more television and then I moved to the UK and started working with children in care.
You started going out with Ryan.
Ryan. So I met a boy from Blackpool.
Who was also on your season.
Yes, so I met a boy from Blackpool on Big Brother. And...
Can I ask, did you start going out in the house or was it after?
In the house.
And then it carried over.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I look back now... If I had the experience in life that I have now, I don't think that relationship would have ever started and happened.
Yeah.
But me or him, we were both young. I was 21, he was 23 or 4, whatever. Mm-hmm. We were both very young and naive. And you're very naive to think when you're in that safe environment, it's going to be the same in the real world. But we did end up being together for like over 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and a lot of people always accuse us of doing it for airtime. And I'm like... It's 3 years later.
No.
Do you think I'm still doing it for your time?
Yeah, no.
Like, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
But so I moved to the UK to be with him, to have my life, an independent adult's life. I never had. The relationship, a lot of good times, a lot of bad times, lots of ups and downs. But we just were not right for each other at all.
And like that, being that age and being on a show together, I feel like when you're on that show together, because you two are the only ones that know what it's like to be in that bubble, it's kind of like...
Sorry.
Don't worry. No, but it's kind of like you can bond over that. It's like comforting.
Yeah. So you know? You leave and it's a bit like you want to be around the people who...
Get it.
...have been in that environment. Now, how I actually explain it. Do you remember lockdown? You are in the real world... You are living your life, but it's so different to the life you've always known. And as an adult, having your adult rights to make your own decisions taken away.
What were you doing then when you left Big Brother? Were you like, right, let's do more shows?
Right, so I left the show. I got a manager in Dublin. So I did a lot of club appearances. I was earning a lot of money.
They've kind of stopped.
That's massively stopped. Right. And you know what's happened is, like, I feel like now club appearances aren't turn up at a club, take photos of people. People now have to learn how to DJ or right. do something else. So I started doing a lot of club appearances. I got asked to Dancing with the Stars in Ireland. That was not a great experience. Not because the show wasn't good or the support wasn't. I just wasn't in the right headspace. After Big Brother, I was so jumbled up in my head that I would wish I could do that now instead of then.
Instead of then. I think, though, like, when you do, because no one prepares you. I'm going to say fame, because I know people are like, oh, like, you know the way they're like, unless you're the Kardashians, you're not famous. But I'm sorry, fame, you were famous. You still are. But, like, it's like that thing of, like, once you're on the TV, it puts you into a different space because you're in the media.
Yeah, like, for example, I was just going to the airport today and I'm just literally trying to find my way to where I'm going, and this man asked me for a photograph. Then when he did, this woman asked me for a photograph in Dublin, and that's so normal to me now. I do not remember a day since Big Brother where I've not got recognised.
Really?
Don't remember a day. If somebody didn't, that would almost be weird.
Yeah, it's just...
Not because I'm narcissistic, like, oh, no. Recognise me. But
it's just
for people that are listening or from Britain or wherever, in Ireland, I've done a lot of media work, a lot of TV. So I'm known not from Big Brother, from a lot of stuff. So I always get recognised in Dublin. But even in Britain, and, like, I remember being in Turkey with Ryan, my ex, and we did a show on MTV called Just the Two of Us.
Oh,
and
okay.
And we sat there at this restaurant. And it's weird if people treat you so different. Mm. The waiter was so rude to us, didn't want to serve us. We're not open yet. And I was on the beach, and my ex wanted garlic prawns. Mm. And this group of boys and girls walked past who were from Sweden, recognised us from this MTV show, because MTV here is like in 80 countries.
It's big.
And they started saying, oh my God, TV, 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 guys. And the waiter automatically changed.
Stop.
Served us our food, wouldn't even let us pay at the end.
Stop.
It is so weird that people treat you. But
so interesting.
It's not that I'm famous like Kim Kardashian, but I've lived a life in the media for most of my adult life.
But it is funny, though, I hear this a lot, like, when people clock that you are someone, they switch up quick.
But also, why is that someone?
I know, I've heard that happen
it's
so
very,
much.
Very, as much as
interesting.
Very weird that people
very
do that.
Weird, because the thing is, you're still you. Like, on the inside, you've never changed, but on the outside, you're now this big person.
I almost think to myself, what would it be like now, at 28, if I hadn't have gone on Big Brother?
Mm.
I genuinely think I'd already be dead or bad on drugs because of that.
I think it's
sexuality thing.
Yeah.
But I almost think, say that didn't happen and I just got out of my life. What actually would have, where would I be working? What would I be doing? All of that, because also with reality TV, there's a huge stigma when it comes to doing so-called normal jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, companies will not take you on.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like, problems with that.
Yeah. But well, I hear that. When you broke up with your ex, then were you kind of like, okay, I want to now really focus on myself, because it was like a rebrand?
Well, I didn't even know what focusing on myself was, because I'd never gone through a breakup before. Mm. So I came home in July 2020. Dublin, Ireland, pandemic, lockdown was rife. Mm. And I was in the worst mental state a person could be. It was horrific when I think back, it was so bad.
Oh, no.
I was drinking every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I was sleeping on a floor. I'd left my apartment, he was still living there in England. I lost my job because obviously I moved back to Ireland. Like, everything I lost to move home during that breakup. But it built me up and made me stronger. Mm. And I got a phone call one day to do first dates in Ireland.
Mm.
And I just went to do it. Something was in my head, like, just go do it, Huey. I was not ready to date mentally,
mm-hmm.
but I'd done it for TV and money reasons, if I'm honest.
Yeah, of course.
That led to me getting other TV work, and I could never have anticipated that. And since then, 2020, I've done more TV work than I ever done before I moved to the UK, right after Big Brother, when I should have been at my hottest.
Mm-hmm.
I, in 2020, 2021, done so much TV work.
Specifically in Irish media, I think, as well.
I've done Ireland, like, so much work in Ireland. A little bit in the UK, but I also done an American show on MTV called The Challenge.
Okay.
And yeah. I got cast for that, and done a show in Ireland called Living with Lucy. Do you know Living with Lucy?
Yeah.
Done first dates twice. I done a show called Eat with the Enemy. I done a different celebrity dating show.
So you're living right now in Dublin?
Yeah.
You were living in the UK?
Yeah.
For 5 years. When did you move back to Dublin?
2020.
And are you dating?
I'm dating, but I'm not looking for a relationship.
It's just...
So I'm not actually really dating, if I'm honest. No. I also... A lot of people think it's because I do OnlyFans and because of my OnlyFans, just sexual stuff.
Yeah.
People think that I probably sleep around, but I actually don't.
When did you get a BBL?
My first BBL was in 2019.
Okay.
Then my second one was 2021.
I am petrified.
Do you want me to stand up and show the camera?
Show the viewers. Wait, so how... I heard, though, that there's like an 80% chance of death.
No. So
tell us about the BBL. People want to know. Because you're like...
So the very first...
Because, can I ask, when you have the BBL, when you get it done, do you have to poo standing up? Because I heard for the first month.
No, so for the first week, you don't poo at all because they give you medication that stops you pooing.
Oh.
And then you can't sit in it for six, seven weeks.
Stop.
No pressure.
Just lying down. Or no, on your stomach?
Always lying down. So you come home on the plane, you have to get 3 plane seats coming home so you can lie down all the time.
But
that's the part that God was supposed to give me. But he didn't.
But he did not. Because celebs, I feel like, obviously we still have celebrities and stuff like that. But I do think it's changed because of social media, anyone can be famous.
Anyone, it's crazy. That's what kind of grew Ireland a lot.
Yeah.
Like after Big Brother in 2016, Ireland was still very old-fashioned.
Mm.
It wasn't until about 2019 when we got a lot of makeup bloggers and all them people that...
Well, that was the blogger era. 2019, 18.
It was kind of then that Irish people, the regular Irish mum, didn't just look at somebody who was on telly once and thought they were famous.
Yeah.
They started to kind of see that kind of anyone could have followings and all.
Yeah.
Kind of caught up with Britain, where Britain was 20 years before.
What do you think are the differences between Irish and English media?
British media industry is obviously so much bigger.
Yeah.
Britain in general, I much prefer Ireland. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But not just because it's my home. The food's better. Like, I'm thinking now I want to get a takeaway after her, but I'm like, where do we get a takeaway?
I know. There's no chippers. It's chippies. It's not like
but the
same.
But the chippies are
it's not the
rubbish
same.
In England.
It's not the same.
The only thing that we don't have in Ireland that I love in Britain is Greggs.
I do love a Greggs.
Is Greggs open at this time?
Primark have started doing Greggs like merch. Now I'm like, that's a bit much sunshine. Who's going around in Greg's pyjamas?
I don't really want.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm going to make my own underwear brand.
Do you? What would you call it?
Well, I had an idea that I wanted to call it Fancy Boys.
Gorge.
So it was going to be directed towards gay guys.
Love.
But apparently Fancy Boys is a...
Taken.
No, it's like a derogatory term for gay men.
Oh, really?
From like the 70s or something.
See, this is the thing.
So I want to call it Booty Boys. So
that's
like,
okay, I actually prefer
now,
Booty Boys.
I'm wearing like...
Oh, fuck. Obsessed. The BBL is BBLing. Would you ever go back? Would you do reality TV again?
I'm kind of getting... Right, I'm 28. Getting a bit older. I've moved past a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd only do it really for money. Or if I... I always get paid anyways, but when I say money, it would have to be like, they'd have to really like pay me.
Yeah.
And it'd have to be a concept or a show that would really work for me.
It would be need to be like, make sense for your brand, you know? In terms of the Irish traveling community, like, do you ever speak on their behalf, or like, do you ever like intertwine the traveling community in your work? I feel like you do, because you do speak about it a little bit, which is really good. There's no one doing that.
But yeah, like, in no the sense, nobody does what I do. Like, a lot of people speak out about racism towards travellers, whereas I like to talk about the internal stigma. Like, in the traveller and gypsy community in Britain and Ireland, they only make up 0.8% of the population, but they make up for 20% of the prison population. The 70% of travellers die of suicide, 50% die by the age of 38.
That's insane.
So young. It's insane, it's crazy. But we have so much internal stigma. It's a bit like, I believe women slut-shame each other more than men ever do.
Yeah.
It's like that. But the difference is women have allies. Women make up for the majority of the population of the world. Travellers are such a small
minority.
And within that minority, it's only my generation that's ever had any mainstream education. Mm. The rest never even went to school.
Yeah.
So it's only my generation that even knows how to go about even trying to help themselves.
Right.
It's kind of a new thing to stand up and be honest. But I try to be honest in the way that's like, most of the abuse I got since I was on TV, on social media, on OnlyFans, is from other travellers. Mm. Actually, not from the mainstream public.
Really?
Yeah, so much.
That's really interesting. Is there a sort of chip on their shoulder? Because you're doing something that's not the norm.
Yeah, the I think community. People get intimidated and scared and jealous of what they don't know. But like right now as we speak, I have ongoing police cases, restraining orders. Oh. I've got so many things at the minute against other members of the travelling community who have had arguments and problems with family members of mine.
Yeah.
And then when they can't get to them anymore, they then start talking about me.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
That is bizarre, because you would like, it's hard when it's, you're supposed to kind of have each other's backs, and then it's, you're going against each other, really. Or like someone's going against you. Recently on TikTok, there's been loads of like traveler women doing cleaning TikToks. Have you seen them?
Yeah, I know a few of them girls.
Do you?
Yeah. And they're really, really lovely girls. And do you know what? They're earning money. Some of them earned hundreds of thousands of followers.
But I was going to say that, like, no one, the level of detail that these women put in, and I'm like,
and the weird
amazing
thing is, when people say smelly pikey, smelly traveller, it's not just because I'm a traveller, but out of everyone I know, the people with the cleanest homes are actually travellers.
Oh my God, I would say, like, if there was this one Irish, I can't remember who it was.
Is it Bridgie Barbara?
It could have been. She comes up a lot, and she was,
she's the one that's like really well known.
But it's amazing though, because, and I love though, because it's like, if it wasn't for TikTok, we wouldn't be seeing any of this. And it's like good, it's so good for them that like they have a platform now. They can be like, this is how you clean your caravan. Like, this is how you clean your home. Like, good for them.
Definitely. But at the same time,
is caravan? Is that the wrong word?
No, caravan is definitely the right
word. Oh, right, okay.
Like, I don't live in a caravan. I actually live in a chalet.
Oh, yeah. Chalet. So in Dublin now, are you back with your family, or are you on your own?
So I live next door to my parents.
Oh, that's nice.
We call them in Ireland a bay, but in England they call them a plot. So I live next door, and I've got my own chalet and stuff. But caravan, chalet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But it's so bizarre, it's because so many people say stuff like, traveller women give women a bad name, in the sense of like, they perpetuate the old stereotypes of what women can only do. But now these women are doing cleaning on the internet for money.
I know. It's a bit like good for them. You live near, you live beside your family. Do you find in the, like in Ireland, compared to the UK, I feel like the sense of family and community is much stronger in Ireland?
So much. Like in the UK, it feels so big. Because you feel so alone.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just because we're not from here.
No, I think
it's actually
like
a culture.
It's a cultural difference.
Like, I just feel like in Ireland, it's so much more close-knit. Like, I love Dublin. Yeah. Like, my favourite accent is I've been sat here all night saying Irish food is the best, this is the best, that is the best, but my favourite accent is Irish accents for fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, guys with Irish accents, sexy as
it's
fuck.
It's very soothing.
Love it. I only want a Dublin fella now.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'd love like a fella from Dublin. Like, I'm 28 in a year, right, 29. Start my own business. Like, I want to do my underwear brand. Mm. So say that started. I'd love to do an autobiography about my whole life growing up. There's so much to that. So, yeah. Like, so much about, like, mental health, plastic surgery, travelling community, reality television, all them things.
You have a lot. There's your life, you're only 28. You've been through a lot. There's been a lot of different, like, chapters.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things that's happened in my life.
Yeah.
But love, in a year's time, like, meet a fella from Dublin, maybe a few years older, maybe my age, but possibly a few years older. Strong Dublin accent.
Mm.
I love it. Mm. Love it so much. Do you like a Dublin accent?
Yeah, I think but I think since moving away, I like it more.
I was,
you
like,
know
that.
What I mean?
I used to go home and hear the boys talking from Dublin. I was like
stunning.
Dripping. As we said, like, culturally, like, family values. It's like Northern England and Southern England. There's a lot of differences in culture.
Very that.
I much prefer being home. And I don't think it's just because that's where I'm from. I genuinely think that's the kind of culture I fit in with. Like, I can make friends at a bus stop. Mm. And as much as I love Britain, love coming here,